above all and through you all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's 16 verses. First 16 verses of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Now let us think why the church is here. How come we're here? The church has been set up in the world as a soul-saving institution. The church is the body of Christ, and it's through the body of Christ that Christ carries on his work. But what is his work? His work is to save souls. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what his body is here in the earth for, the church. We think that the church is for the purpose of edifying and establishing and building up the saints. Well, it is. And we are to receive that edification and that upbuilding through our association and fellowship with the saints. But the purpose of all of this, building you and me up, and edifying us, and enriching us, and pouring out his glory and grace upon us, is all to one end, and that is to better equip and qualify us to save souls, for God to work through us for the salvation of men and women in the earth. Now, if the church by any means become self-centered, and folks, let me remind you that that's a very easy thing to do, and that we have to keep ourselves stirred or we will do it. Now we think of a self-centered person as a very miserable person, as a difficult person to associate with and get along with, and that's all true, but a self-centered church is about the worst thing I can think of. I don't know where I would go to find anything that I thought was worse than a self-centered church. And what I mean by that is to just close up within ourselves and eat and drink and be merry and have a good time among ourselves and cease to be reaching out for souls and working for souls. We can get so concerned about our own blessings and our own upbuilding that we can become self-centered, but let us bear in mind that the only reason that God has in mind in building you and me up and enriching our lives is to make us an attractive something to the people of this world and draw souls to Him. Now, if by any means the church ceases to be a soul-saving institution, that's what it's put here for, then it ceases to have any excuse for its continuance or existence in this world. There's no other reason for us being here in this world than to be a soul-saving institution. God wants you and me to fall right in line with His program, humble our hearts before Him, for Him to work in and through us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you'll always find that pointing right out to reach souls. He wants to reach souls through you and me. Now, I noticed in this reading that He has put the church here for this particular purpose. And I see here that He has equipped and qualified the church with all the necessary facilities to carry this on. All these gifts that He mentioned and all these different ones that He placed in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, people, all of us, that's the facilities that God has provided with the gifts of the Spirit to carry on this work of soul saving. He never gave you and me gifts to just make a show with and to just aggrandize ourselves with. He gave us gifts for the profit of all, for the profit of the people in the church and out of the church, for the equipment and qualification of being soul-saving people in this world, and the church a soul-saving institution in this world. Now, He tells us here, I'll begin down with verse 15 with a few thoughts here. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Growing up in Christ. He spoke back in the 13th verse, till we all come to a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. The margin says, to maturity. Till we come to maturity. Grow up. Develop. Mature in our Christian experience and in the grace of God in our lives. Bear in mind that God is aiming at the salvation of souls all the time. and providing and equipping a people in this world to carry that work on and to be a soul-saving institution. And he has provided it with all the facilities to bring it to maturity, to develop in its spiritual growth to a mature state, that it be able to do that. We read in the scriptures about Zion travailing. And when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. But now let me remind you that children are not capable of reproduction. It takes a full-grown, fully developed woman to bring children into this world. It's the same way spiritually. We're not equipped and qualified to reproduce and to bring forth spiritual children, new converts into the church, until we have come to a mature age, full grown, fully developed, mature men and women for God. Then we are equipped and qualified to carry on the work that God gave us to do. To the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, unto a perfect man. Listen, folks, God wants you and me to grow up out of our childish ideas, our childish way of life, get rooted down in him, get settled in him. He said we are rooted and grounded in the truth. Peter said that, rooted and grounded in the truth. Oh, that was Paul, excuse me. Paul said that. And he wants you and me to just get firmly rooted down and grounded in the truth, to where we can stand the storms of life and the pressures of life, and we can manifest full-grown, mature reactions to all of the things that come against us in life, and be men and women for God. Just grow up. Plain, simple, two-worded sentence there. Just grow up. Now, he said, till we all come to a perfect man. He didn't say, till I come to a perfect man and you come to a perfect man. He didn't say, till we come to perfect men. He said, till we come to a perfect man. All of us coming to a perfect man in Christ, in the body of Christ, in one body, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same spirit, that we make up a perfect man, and that man is the new man that Christ made, which was his own body, the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ in this earth. But whatever the people are, that's what the church is going to be. If you want a victorious church, it takes victorious people to make a victorious church. If you want a sanctified church, it takes sanctified people to make a sanctified church. If you want a spirit-filled church, remember, it takes spirit-filled people to make a spiritual church. And if you want a church that constitutes a perfect man, all the members together constitute a perfect man. Bear in mind, it takes people living perfect lives before God to produce that kind of a church. So, he said, we all come to a perfect man, and this is all just right on to equipping and qualifying the church to be a soul-saving institution in the world. that we henceforth be no more children. He wants us to grow up out of our child state. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child thinks. And I acted like a child and so on. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what God wants you and me to do, is to put away our childish whims and childish ways of life and grow up and be able to fill a man's place in the church of God. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, folks, I feel, I want to pass the word along to you, that God is a master mechanic. The work that God does is perfect. And there are no misfits in the body of Christ. The whole body fitly joined together. There's no loose connections. There's no loose joints. Every joint fits perfectly. He's a master mechanic. And when he builds a building, it's going to be a perfect building. The Word of God said, all thy ways are perfect. God's ways are all perfect. His ways with us are all perfect. And beyond that, he said he makes our way perfect. And as we bow our will to his will and submit ourselves to him, he'll make our way perfect. He'll fulfill us. Mature us. Help us to grow up to be men instead of boys. And that we'll be perfected in him. So now he said, from whom? From Christ, all the body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Folks, the chief aim of every one of us should be to fit, and that we'd fit properly in our place. Now, I'm told, or I have read, that all of the stones that went into the temple, that temple, bear in mind, was a type of the New Testament church. And all of the stones were hewn and shaped and sized over in another place. They were not on the job, but they were transported to the job. But when they got over on the job, every stone just fit exactly right in its place. And the workmen just laid them up, put them together, and they had a temple. And it is said, it may be a tradition, I don't know about this, I can't confirm this, but it is said that there was one little stone that kept popping up when the workers were working and they couldn't find any place for it. So they'd toss it aside, and after a while it'd show up again, and another workman get it, and he'd toss it aside. It wouldn't fit where he was working, and that went on till they got the building up, and right up in the head of the corner is where that stone fit. And they put it up there, and the whole building was put together. Everything just fit. Now the Word of God said that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now I think that the Scripture lays some grounds for that tradition. I said it might be tradition. But Peter says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. So there must have been a stone back there like that. That must have actually happened and went on like that. And that they tossed it out here and tossed it out there, and nobody could use it. But when it got to the right place, it fit right in there. Now, when they got all those stones over there, they fit right together. And God saves people today out of every walk of life and from every station in life, from the lowest to the highest, the meanest to the best. He saves people out of every category in life. And there isn't any such thing as a person being saved and just falling right into a place. He's got to be fit for his place. God's got to do some work on him. There are none of us that just naturally fit in the body of Christ. Well, now you may think that's kind of a strong statement, but you just think back about your coming into the body of Christ. You'll see God had some work to do on you to get you shaped up so you'd fit in your place, the place that He had for you to fill. Now, that's true of every one of us, you, me, and everybody else. We just do not naturally fit in the body of Christ. We have humps on us and bumps around here and there and curves and ideas and traditions and backgrounds and dispositions and things that just doesn't fit in the body of Christ and in the work of God. And God just got to work us over to make us fit. A log that comes in out of the forest to the mill, it doesn't fit anywhere. But by the time they get through with it, with the saw and the plane and everything down in the mill, it'll fit in a building. Well, God has to work with His material that way. The life that we lived before we obtained salvation had a lot of angles and knots and bumps and things that just wouldn't fit in the body of Christ. And He had to work us over and make us over new and different to get us to fit in. But when He gets through with us, we'll fit perfectly. Now you take a building that has loose joints in it, and it's framed up and the corners doesn't come together properly and the rafters don't fit properly on the plates and there are spaces and loose joints and everything there. That building isn't very stable. Let a good hard wind blow on that building, will creak and shake, and you think it's going to fall down, and sometimes they do fall down. But you take a building built by a master mechanic, and every joint just fits, and every corner is solid. It takes a pretty good storm to shake that building. Jesus built a building here that He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against. And He told us about us building a building, that the storms would come and the winds would blow and the floods would beat against our building and it would not fall. Folks, we can have a good, solid building, a solid, well-established, well-founded experience and relationship with God that the storms of life cannot shake. And when God gets through working on us and getting all those knocks and or knots and bumps and humps and curves and everything out of us, and all the traditions and background and everything that's contrary to truth and sound doctrine, he's got us down to where we'll fit right in the body of Christ. And we may have been pretty big when he started with us, and he might come out with a 2x4 or a 2x2 by the time he gets through, but it'll fit right in there, right in its place, and it'll be straight, and it'll be smooth. Amen. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Now, I watched a process in a creamery one time of cheese making. And they had a big vat there, and they had a line there. It said fill line, fill to this line. It had a heating element in it, and it had an agitator in it. And they just poured milk. I watched them start from scratch, so to speak. The vat was empty, and they just poured milk and poured milk and poured milk into there till it filled up to that fill line. And then they turned on that agitator, and they turned on that heat element and warmed that milk up and stirred it up. Yeah, and after a while, cheese particles began to show up. If you ever churn butter, you know what I'm talking about. You'll churn and churn and stir and churn, and pretty soon butter particles will begin to show up there, and they'll separate from the milk, and you'll go through a process they call gathering. Just turn the dasher and it'll pick up these particles and gather them together, and you can drain off the milk and process your butter, and you've got nice butter. Well, cheese is the same process. It goes the same way, and I watched this process, and the agitator turning in there, and pretty soon the cheese particles begin to separate from the whey and show up there, and when the process was finished, why, the operator pushed some buttons and turned off the agitator and turned off the heat element and opened the valve and began to drain the whey off. And as it did, all these particles of cheese began to gather together and settle down in that vat. And he drained and drained till there wasn't any more drain. Then he took a big knife and went along and sliced across that cheese. And he would pick up all those blocks and turn them over. And they'd lay there and press down and press out some more whey. And he'd drain that off, and then he'd go back and flip them all over again and press down on the other side and press out some more. And he kept repeating that process till there wasn't any more liquid that would drain out of it. And when he got through, it had just packed right together. You just had to take your fingernail and just dig off a little piece of it to get any of it. It is packed right together. And then he sliced it up in smaller molds and put it away. But the Lord was talking to me all the time I was watching that process, and he was bringing this scripture to my mind. Compacted. God compacts his children together in the body of Christ. Compacted. And I was thinking how that God saves people from every walk of life and every station in life and from every religious background and religious traditions and ideas and opinions and different things. And he just brings them all in and throws them in the vat together. Well, they've got these things about them. But he turns on the heating element of his spirit and the agitator of his word, and he starts working on them with his word and teaching them and instructing them and warming their hearts by his spirit and they causing them to respond to the instructions and admonitions of his word. Till after a while, all these unsolid substances that's contrary to truth is just drained out and they just compact right together in the body of Christ. No foreign substance there. He just works it all out. Sometimes people have things that keep them from fitting in the body of Christ. God wants them to fit. And sometimes people have ideas and opinions that keep them from fitting, and sometimes they do things that keep them from fitting, and sometimes they wear things that keep them from fitting, and sometimes they go places that keep them from fitting, and sometimes they don't do any of these things at all, but they just have things in their hearts that keeps them from fitting and flowing right in with the children of God. But when God gets through with his process of churning and warming up and stirring the hearts of people, he just gets all this stuff out of them and compacts them right together in the body of Christ. Now he says this is accomplished by that which every joint supplieth, according to the measure of the working, effectual working in the measure of every part. Now God has his process of accomplishing this, and that's through you and me. That which every joint supplieth in the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now we drop back for a few thoughts to the first part of this lesson that I read, and he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called with all lowliness. Lowliness, folks, is an essential part of you and me blending in together in the body of Christ. But now he said, every joint supply. In other words, every one of us, every individual member supplying his share of lowliness, all of us being lowly. It isn't a matter of you being lowly and me lording it over you. It's a matter of me being lowly too. And if I teach you to be lowly, I should, by virtue of being an example to you, be just a little more lowly than I expect you to be. I say this, that if every one of us will hold just a little tighter rein on ourselves than we do anybody else, we'll all get along good. We'll do well. Folks, that's the way we should live our lives. Just hold ourselves in rein, in check. Hold ourselves down. Be of a lowly mind, one toward another. With all lowliness and meekness. You be meek and me too. Every one of us supplying our proportionate share of meekness. That which every joint supplieth in the effectual working in the measure of every part. Folks, this can be brought to pass and we can be what God wants us to be and we can be a body of Christ, whether there be many of us or few of us. We can be a representative church in the body of Christ But it takes all of us working together and all of us supplying our measure of the divine virtues and graces of God to make this work. God can't do this without you and me. The effectual working in the measure of every part. And he says, all lowliness and meekness with long suffering. You ever heard anything about long suffering? You ever heard anything about long suffering? One brother said, the Bible said long suffering, but it didn't say long suffering. But it just said long suffering. You suffer long and me too. That which every joint supplieth in the effectual working and the measure of every part. You have no right to expect a brother or sister to be long-suffering with you unless you're willing to be long-suffering with them. You have no right to require anybody to do anything that you're not willing to do yourself. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. All of us forbearing. Forbearing one another. It didn't say each other. Sometimes it's pretty easy for us to forbear with some folks or special buddies of ours. And the relationship between us and them is good. And it's easy for us to forbear with them. They're just kind of special to us anyway. We can give room for them. But what about that fellow that's so not so special? You see, he said forbearing one another. Not each other, but one another. Forbearing with the fellow that's not your buddy, the same as with the one that is your buddy. And forbearing with the person that's unspecial to you, the same as you do with the person that's special to you. Just forbearing one another. I forbear and you forbear. Every one of us forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor means to put forth an earnest effort. I put forth an earnest effort and you put forth an earnest effort along this line, and I promise you that under God we can do this. With God's help we can keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we'll all supply our proportionate share of endeavor and earnest effort along this line, we can keep that. If we get kind of short-tempered and short on long-suffering and forbearance, and we get kind of touched up a little and think they ought not to do me this way, and I just don't like people doing me this way. Lord told me one time when I was kind of chafing under something, he said, look here, it says it's none of your business how they treat you. I thought, my, this is me. They just ought not to treat me this way. He said, it's just none of your business how they treat you. Said, you can't expect people to treat you right all the time anyway. Well, I thought that over, and I thought, well, saints ought to treat me right. Well, I believe saints will treat me just as good as they know how to treat me. But sometimes they don't know how to. I remember Brother Chandler telling about some trials that he'd been through and people had done him wrong. And he said, I knew they were doing me wrong, but said I didn't believe that they knew they were doing me wrong. So he said, I just overlooked it and went on and prayed with them and preached with them and worked right on with them. I believed if they'd known better, they would have done better. Wasn't that a grand attitude? That's victory, isn't it? Well, it's hard for us to grasp that, I know. But under God we can. And we can all supply our proportionate shares of all these divine virtues and graces, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance, and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. We can all supply our proportionate shares of this, and through this substance that you and I supply, God can weld and temper the body together and make it fit together and hold together against all the storms and stresses of life. And he says, it maketh increase of the edifying of the body of itself. Let's see just how does it read here. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now when it is this way and everybody's in this channel and manifesting these characteristics and virtues and graces of God and living in harmony with God and walking lowly and humbly with Him, edification's just a natural built-in in the body of Christ. It's just a natural element there. And when two children of God or more meet together with all these things working effectually in their hearts and lives, and each one of them supplying their portion of all of these things, it'll just flow over from one to another, and they'll rejoice in the fellowship one of another and edify one another every time they get together. And it'll be a blessing every soul. And God equips the body of Christ this way. Bear in mind that the body of Christ is a soul-saving institution in this world, and He fits us through His divine grace and virtues to be equipped and qualified to fulfill that mission. And He's looking all the time at souls. Not just to make you and me happy, not just to bless us. He wants to do that, all right. But He does that through that we might be more effectual in soul saving. Amen.